The idol worship, the mysteries connected to that worship were transferred to Pergamos. And then later, it was transferred to Rome. From the time of Constantine, the emperor, the title was taken over by the emperor, and the title was Pontifex Maximus, which means sovereign head. So from that time onwards, the emperor of Rome was called as the head of the church, and he was also called as the high priest of the heathendom. And then afterwards, it was that title was given to the bishop of Rome. And today, the title of supreme pontiff belongs to Pope. It belongs to Pope. That's how the idolatry has spread to all ends of the earth. And today, people are in the clutches of this idolatry. That's why they're not able to come out. Why? Because they are under the power of that spirit. As I said, whenever a person bows down to an idol, the devil or the demon impersonates the god that man thinks is in that stone, in that wood, or in that idol. Man exchanged the glory of God to corruptible man and corruptible creatures. Now, before we go into the third aspect of the wrath of God, which is the results of God's wrath, or how God reveals His wrath, I would like to talk about the revelation that is described or given here in verses 19, 20 and 21. We have seen God reveals Himself through creation, isn't it? But we need to understand that revelation is not a complete revelation. Now, what is the difference between a general revelation and a specific revelation? Now, general revelation is seen in the creation of God. It is available for everyone in the world. When they see the creation, they know about God. They know about the attributes, the invisible attributes of God, that He is a powerful God and He is a divine. But a special revelation is revealed at specific place to specific people through Jesus Christ and through the scriptures. The general revelation is a natural revelation based on natural order of creation. But the supernatural revelation of God, it involves the incarnation of Christ and the inspiration of the scriptures. This general revelation that we see in verses 19, 20 and 21, that how God reveals Himself through creation, or within man, or without, is a continuous revelation. We see that in Psalms 19 verses 1 and 2. Day and night, day after day, God reveals Himself through His creation. But the final and the finished revelation is in Christ and the scriptures. Sometimes people can misunderstand this verse. In verse 21 it says, because although they knew God. Now you cannot take this as absolute knowledge of God. Nature has a voice, but it does not have a heart. Nature does not know anything about man's need. Nature cannot forgive people. So people cannot replace Christ with creation. They think that they can be saved. Creation only reveals about God, and that revelation should lead man to Christ. If you see, during the birth, when Jesus Christ was born, the star was seen by the Magi, isn't it? The wise men. Now, these people were Gentiles. They were not people who were saved, who knew about God. The moment they saw the stars, what did they do? They started searching the books. And they came to know this is something, a special phenomenon, a special occurrence. And that light led them to where? To Christ, isn't it? This revelation. But God condemns them. This revelation which they have rejected, God condemns them. This revelation will never save a man, but it will only point towards Christ. It is only by Christ, by reconciling with God through Christ, man can enjoy the full revelation of God. There is a difference between witness to God in His creation and also witness to God by redemption. Creation only reveals the handiwork of God, but it is only Calvary that unveils the heart of God. So that was the sixth reason we have seen. Now with that thought, let's go into the third aspect of God's wrath, and that is the results of God's wrath. How God's wrath is shown. Now remember, as I said, when man rejects the knowledge of God, man's mind becomes empty, and that emptiness leads him into darkness, and man has to fill that emptiness with some kind of God. And he conceives a God in his mind, and he worships that God or an idol that is of his own creation, and that idolatry will lead him to immorality. From verses 24 till verse 32 of Romans chapter 1, we see the threefold refrain of God. Three times the Lord says, He gave them up. In verse 24, He says, He gave them up. In verse 26, He says, He gave them up. In verse 28, He says, He gave them over. Now, what does that mean? God gave them up or God gave them over? It means God has abandoned man. Now, how can that be the anger of God or the wrath of God? Many times when we talk or think about the wrath of God, we think about fire and brimstone coming from heaven or some thunderbolts. When the sin and the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah came before God, God rained fire and brimstone and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. When the wickedness of man came before God during the days of Noah, God destroyed earth, all mankind, by flood, except 8 souls who were saved by the ark. God destroyed the firstborn of Egypt by sending the angel of death. God destroyed the disobedient and the rebellion children of Israel in the wilderness by opening the earth. The earth swallowed them. But here, the wrath of God is very quiet. It is very calm. What is the Lord doing? Is He sending some fire from heaven? No. Did He send any plague? No. What is He doing? He is just quiet. He just abandoned them. The worst thing that can happen to a man is God abandoning him. Can you imagine? God just left them like that, so that they can go their own way. They can go in their sinful way. Why did God abandon them? Because man chose sin over God. Sin enslaves man. When a man commits sin, he goes on committing that sin looks good for him. He feels good, it tastes good, it looks good. And man is in the bondage and in the clutches of sin. And it is very difficult once he is under that bondage for him to come out of those clutches of sin. Not only sin enslaves man, but it also entices as well. Sin entices man. Sin always lies. Sin claims to give pleasure, happiness and stimulation to man. But the reality is, sin destroys the life of man. It destroys the soul of man. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys societies. Sin destroys nations. That is the reality. Not only man chose sin over God, but man also abandons God. In other words, man turns away from God. God has given freedom and free choice to man. When man chooses sin, when man chooses to abandon God, God will never interfere with the freedom and the choice of man. If God interferes with the freedom and the choice of man, men act like robots. We'll be living in a mechanical universe where God will be pressing a button and everything will be done automatically. If we are going to live in a mechanical universe, force love and care and concern upon people, that is not true love. Man cannot express his love, his concern, his care, his emotion, his feelings if you are living in a coerced world, in a forced world. God can only appeal, and he can only appeal through his love, mercy and grace. But he will never violate the freedom and the choice of man. So when man abandons God, what God does? God also abandons man. Someone read Psalms 81 and verse 12. Psalms 81 and verse 12.
So I give them up unto their own hearts, lusts, and they walk into their own counsels.
See what the Lord says? I give them up. I abandon them to their own lusts. You see another verse, Acts chapter 7 and verse 42, please. Acts chapter 7 and verse 42.
And then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness?
Again, we see there, God gave them up. We have other verses, but we do not have time. God gave them up because of their sinful ways, because of their wicked ways. God shows wrath by giving men to uncleanness. That is the first thing that we see in verse 24. Therefore, God also gave up to uncleanness. The word uncleanness means impurity, filthiness. It speaks about defilement, pollution. Men are condemned to uncleanness. Why God gave them up to uncleanness? Because of their lusts in their hearts. The word lust means passionate cravings, desires, urges. They long for things that displease God and dishonor their bodies. That's why it says here, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, we see, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, we see, therefore glorify God with your body and your spirit, which belongs to God. But what happened? Because of their lusts in their hearts, what happened? They dishonor their bodies among themselves. Remember, God deeply cares human body, and He judges them who abuses it. Sin takes place in the heart before it takes place by act. Isn't it? Someone read Mark chapter 7. From verse 20 to 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23.
And he said, what comes out of a man but defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders, thefts, covetousness and wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and evil eye, and blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.
All these things come from within, that is the lust of the heart. We also see in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19 as well. But you can just write down if you are taking some notes. So that is the first thing. We see how God shows His wrath. God gives them up to uncleanness. And the second thing we see is the result of an unclean life is idolatry. See, in verse 25 it says, who exchange the truth of God for a lie, and worship and serve the creatures rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and amen. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. What is the truth of God? The truth about God is that He should be worshipped. He is divine. He is powerful. Instead of worshipping that Creator, the truth of God, they exchange the truth of God with a lie. They exchange the truth with false. And what is that lie? It is idol worship. It is worshipping an idol. The honor that should go to the living God, the Creator of the universe, has been exchanged with a lie. That's why he says in verse, who exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. In other words, they begin to serve themselves. Someone read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15.
They have forsaken the right way and gone astray and following the way of the Balaam, the son of Beor, and the law of the wages of the unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a donkey speaking with a man's voice, and restrained the madness of the prophet.
Yeah, and also Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. It says here, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Have you seen that? He's mentioning about the way of Balaam, the doctrine of Balaam in Jude verse 7, you see about the error of Balaam. Who is Balaam? Balaam was a prophet. He was a genuine prophet. But he compromised with the word of God. He compromised his belief for the sake of cold cash. When Balak offered him money, he wanted to curse the children of Israel. But he could not curse God's people, isn't it? So what did he do? He had another plan. He asked Balak to put a stumbling block. How did he do that? He brought pagan woman to the children of Israel. And they started having relationships with them. And because of that, Balaam knew that God's punishment will be upon them. Isn't it? So that's why that Pergamos church was a compromising church. How sad today, many of the evangelical churches, many of the believers, they compromise with their faith for some petty material benefits. Isn't it? And that is what we learn from the life of Balaam. It is not something new today. Even in this age, the times and the days that we are living in, sometimes we can go to the extent of compromising with our faith and with the word of God. We can exchange the truth of God with a lie. Now you may tell me, brother, we don't worship any idols. Today we have modern idols, sophisticated idols. Isn't it? People are worshipping secularism. People are worshipping money. People are worshipping power. People are worshipping materialism. They have become the God of their lives. They are coming between them and their God. And that's why Paul specifically includes that statement, who is blessed forever. In other words, he should be always exalted, he should be honored, and he should be respected. Why? Because these men, they have rejected the knowledge of God. They did not honor God. They did not respect God. And the second reason how God shows his wrath is in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. What is that vile passions? It means unnatural affection. Passions that cannot be controlled or governed. Passions that know no bounds. They are called as wild passions. When a man gets into idolatry, it leads him to moral depravity. And what is happening here? Have you seen here in verse 26 and verse 27? He speaks very clearly about the lesbian sexual activity and also the homosexual activity as well. Paul very clearly speaks about sexual orientation and sexual activity. See what he is telling in verse 26. For even their women exchange their natural use for what is against nature. And it says, likewise also the men leaving their natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error was due. Do you know why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? It is because of their homosexual practices. That sin was not just sinful. The Bible says it was exceedingly sinful. Kindly someone read Genesis chapter 19 and verse 13, please. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 13.
So we will destroy this place because the cry of them is great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it.
And also read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6, please. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6.
And if he condemned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. Mm.
And also read Jude and verse 7, please. Someone can read Leviticus 18:22 as well.
Even a Sodom, it's Jude 7.
Yeah.
Even a Sodom and Gomorrah has speech about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after a strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
We see all this God has recorded, the Spirit of the Lord is recorded for our admonition, so that we all can be careful, isn't it? Someone read Leviticus 18 and verse 22.
You shall not lie with a man as with a woman. That is detestable.
That is detestable. Someone read Leviticus 20 and verse 13.
If a man also lie with mankind as he lie with woman, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
So the Bible clearly says it is an abomination in the sight of God. Today, homosexuality, the lesbian sexuality is rampant in the world. It is increasing by leaps and bounds. And they want the nation to approve those practices. Isn't it? John Boswell, you know, I was reading in Apologetic Press, you know, one of the articles was, a survey was done by a man by name John Boswell. And he did a survey of homosexuality in Western Europe between Christian era and the 4th century. He says, in short, that Rome was a hotbed for homosexuality. In fact, out of 15 emperors, 14 were homosexuals, I believe. It is said about Emperor Augustine that he allowed male prostitutes to ply their trade on the streets. In other words, they made it legal and they were taxed as well. And also, in a once in a year, they were being given a day off. It is said about Caesar that he is a husband of all women and a wife of all men, it seems. In other words, he was bisexual. Can you see what is now? Today we are living in a world where we are faced with this kind of sinfulness. And that's what Paul says here. It is against nature and which is not natural. Now, how do you interpret these two words, nature, which is a noun, and natural, an adjective? Now, you may say, it is not my nature to do such things or commit such acts. But do you know what the other person says? It may not be your nature, but for me it is natural. We need to understand these two words from a different perception, that is, in the light of God's creation. The word natural means it's God's created order. It is something that God has designed. If someone is doing against nature, it means he is violating the created order of God. If he is not doing against nature, it means he is doing what God has created. What was God's original intention? If you see, God created man and a woman, isn't it? Now here, in my translation, it says man and woman, but if you go to the Greek lexicon translation, it means it mentions female and male. So in the beginning, God created male and female. And then what did he do? He joined them and made them as one flesh. And he said, for this reason a man shall leave his wife and father and mother and cling to his two husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 9 says, the woman was made for man. And thirdly, Lord Jesus Christ himself said, that which has been joined, no man shall separate them. Have you seen these three things? God created male and female. They have joined together and they are made as one. And thirdly, what has been joined, no one shall separate. What the devil is doing today is separating. Isn't it? What a sad thing. And he goes on to say here in verse 27, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Paul doesn't clearly explain what that penalty is. But do you know the consequences of this homosexual activities and the lesbian activities? They are mentally, physically, emotionally, they are traumatized. You know that? They have very frequent visits to the doctors. They suffer from different kinds of diseases. They have HIV, they have hepatitis A, hepatitis B, hepatitis, you name it. Syphilis, so many things. But they don't come out with that. Many studies have shown that they are psychologically and physically in bondage. Maybe that is the penalty that they are going through, isn't it? Why? Because God gave them up. The judgment of homosexuality is within and not without man. He is judged and condemned to live in his unnatural passion. He is enslaved and held in bondage psychologically and physically. God gave them up to wild passions. And finally, I finish the third one. God gave them over to a debased mind. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, which means mental depravity. Moral depravity leads to mental depravity. Moral perversion leads to mental perversion. The word debased mind means reprobate or depraved minds. A mind that is rejected, disapproved, degraded. A mind that cannot stand the test of judgment. What is the reason? They do not like to retain God in their knowledge. They do not like to approve God. They do not like to recognize God. That's why it says in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 says, their thoughts, their intentions were evil. We see in Job 21:14 as well. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 and verse 29 as well. We don't have time to look into that. Paul describes the consequences of this mental perversion by piling up one word after another word from verse 29. At least 21 he mentions the consequences of mental depravity, which leads to social atrocities. And what are they? He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. At least 21 of them are mentioned here. They are all self-explanatory. I don't want to explain them. Maybe you can go home and see each and every word. And in verse 32 we see God assures final judgment. Already they are under the judgment of God, but one day we all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God is going to judge every human being. And he says here, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving death. It is eternal separation from God. Total isolation from God. And not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. These people, they know the knowledge of God. They rejected the knowledge of God. They also know the judgment that is going to come upon them. They rejected that knowledge as well. And not only that, what they are doing, they are approving those people who are doing the wrong things, isn't it? Today we find that one. How many parents are struggling today with their children, isn't it? Because they want to do something wrong, and there are people outside the world who are supporting those activities, isn't it? It's a battle for every one of us in our family life, in our church life, in our individual life. It is a battle. When the word of God says it is sin, the world says no, it is just a mistake. How they misinterpret the words. They play with words. They play with their lives. Remember, God is not mocked. That's what the Bible says. What you reap, sow, that you shall reap. Kindly someone read. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. We'll read this verse together, please. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that he will also. If a man continues in that sinful condition, the Bible clearly says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So we have seen the revelation of God's wrath. We have seen the reasons for God's wrath. We have also seen the results of God's wrath. God gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to wild passions. God gave them up to reprobate mind or debased. So may the Lord help us as believers, as Christians, that we may be established in our faith, that we may stand for the truth, that we may never compromise with the truth of God with us. And I have not prepared any questions, but the next class that we are going to have will be a discussion on chapter 1. Okay? And this time, I know last time Manjula also was asking a question, and that is a good time for us to discuss. So, it would be good if you have any questions.